So good morning once again. Let me have you open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to begin there this morning, but open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. That's where we'll begin to dig into this topic of mercy from God's word. So go ahead, as you're turning there and finding your place, go ahead and pull out your outline also from your bulletin. I'm going to have you look at a few things that are on there. So grab your outline, open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. That's where we're going to begin to dig into the topic. And be ready. I'm going to have you move to probably at least five or six passages today as we look into God's word, as we study what mercy is, what God's mercy is, and how it impacts our life. Before that's going to be kind of our communion focus today. And you'll notice from the top of your outline, that's what it says. You'll see that communion message for today is the focus will be on remembering mercy, so recalling mercy to our mind. You know, every time we take communion, it is the concept of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 25. It's in your outline there. For I have received from the Lord that which I have also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we take the bread and we take the cup in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, in remembrance of who he is, of what he's done, what he's doing, and why he came. We don't want to ever forget the life lived, his death on the cross, and his resurrection in relation to our salvation and new life. And what I'm doing with that today, the focus for today is in the mercy of God given through Christ. We want to remember that. We want our minds to recall that to our mind, what mercy is, and that we know grace, we know love, we don't talk about mercy as much. We're going to look at it today, and it's going to encourage us as we remember Christ, as we come before the Lord, and when we take communion, we commune with him, with each other. That's what the Bible tells us. It's a spiritual communion that goes on. We're remembering him, who he is, why he came, what he did. We're remembering his life, death, and resurrection, those kind of things, flooding our mind. We don't want to forget that. In all of that, we receive the mercy of God through Christ. So what I wanted to do today is help us recall that to our minds, the truths about God's mercy given us because of the work of Christ. Like it says in 2 Peter 1, 2, Peter wrote that he was always ready to remind us of the truth that we have already been established in, to stir us up by the way of reminder. That's what we'll do today for our communion focus. So stay with me on that. To be reminded, to recall to our mind God's mercy from God's word. That's what we're going to do. So to begin with, let's define what mercy is a little bit. Look at your outline. We got to kind of really get a good definition of mercy. You will look it up. You'll see compassion and pity and empathy, those kind of things. But the mercy of God, very simply, is the passing over deserved punishment. That's the basic meaning of mercy. God's mercy is extended for the alleviation of the consequences of sin. Grace identifies the free nature of salvation. That is unmerited and undeserved. Mercy really is the application of grace. In God's mind and in the order of salvation, God's mercy precedes the saving grace and continues to be actively demonstrated after the work of that grace. That's from the Complete Word Study Dictionary. We receive mercy, still receive mercy like we do grace in our life today. So that's what I want us to focus on. So God, for God to save us, think of it this way, he had to give us mercy so he could pass over our deserved punishment for our sin. He placed the punishment on Christ. That's atonement. We deserve the punishment. And he placed it on Christ. So our lives, I want you to think of it this way, are a mercy, aren't they? Is your life a mercy? Did God pass over your deserved punishment and place it on Christ? It's a mercy. Nobody made him. Nobody twisted his arm. In fact, many times in the Bible, and I'm not going to go through all of those, where it says, God says, "I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy." That's God. That's who he is. He's sovereign over all of this. And at work in our lives, every created human that has ever lived so far deserves the punishment for their sin. All deserve God's wrath, God's eternal judgment, but God gave mercy. So my life, your life in Christ, is a mercy of God. Not to give us what we deserve. I want you to listen to this. No matter what a believer's life is like circumstantially in this earthly life, it's a mercy of God that you have it, your life in Christ. He did not give us what we deserve. no matter what your life, a believer's life, is like circumstantially in this earthly life, it's a mercy that you have it. So basically, from God's truth, all believers can say, my life's a mercy, no matter what it is. God has not given me what I deserve. I deserve wrath, and he had mercy on me. I have Christ. I have salvation. I have reconciliation, all the things we're going to look at today. So again, what I want to desire for us to do is just in this communion message is for us to remember God's truth about his mercy and that our life in him is a mercy. Our life now and forever is a divine concession of a great and glorious God not to give us what we deserve. Mercy. Let's dig into that truth today and recall it to our minds. So to start, look at with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Look at it with me. Here the Apostle Paul writes, listen to what he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy. Because I acted ignorant in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant, which the faith and the love which are found in Christ Jesus. It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I'm the foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy. So that in me, the foremost, Jesus Christ, might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now, what I want to do as we look at these, as we dig into each passage, I want to identify the mercy, I want to call it to our minds, and I want to describe the impact of God's mercy. We're just going to move along here through like six passages, just moving along. 1 Timothy 1:12 through 16, we heard that. Now, capture the mercy here. Look at verse 13. Look what Paul wrote. Even though I am formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent aggressor. Verse 15, I am the foremost of all sinners. Even though I was all that, can I encourage you with something today? So the Apostle Paul was Taliban in our day. That's who he was. He slandered God. He was a blasphemer. He slandered God. He persecuted and killed Christians, Taliban. And God said, I'm going to give you mercy. He said, I'm the foremost of sinner of all. This is what I do. I mock God. There's no other choices here. There's not a third place you can be here. But listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Even though I'm formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, the foremost sinner of all, that means he's not saved, he's not reconciled, he's not born again, he doesn't have any of that. Anyone who slanders the true God and doesn't worship the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, kills Christians, is lost, right? We would say that. He was lost. Serving the prince of the power of the air. All unsaved people do. Maybe not as foremost of sinners. I always did identify me before I came to Christ. I was a good sinner. How about you guys? Right? You guys thought, well, I thought I was a good guy. I thought God would accept me, all that kind of stuff. And then when I came to Christ, I even identified me as a good sinner. I'm a flat sinner before I came to Christ. And even though I didn't slander God and I didn't persecute Christians and I didn't be a violent aggressor, I was unsaved as much as the Apostle Paul was here. As much as anybody is on the planet that is unsaved. And Paul says, I received mercy. There's no third option here, you guys. You're either a believer in and serve the true and living God, or you don't, and you serve the prince of the power of the air. That's it. Paul says, yet I was shown mercy, even though I acted ignorantly in unbelief. God could have and would be just to have judged Paul's sin and took him out. Amen? He's just in any of that, in any day, for the sin of man. But we've received mercy. But God gave mercy. He gave it to Paul. He gave it to me. He gave it to all who would believe. Look at verse 16. He says, yet for this reason I found mercy. Because God gave it, right? It wasn't sitting over on the street and he picked it up and said, oh, I found mercy, right? He's recognizing what God did in his life. He's recognizing that God pierced his heart with the truth of the gospel. Yeah, Christ, for his testimony, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he's like, well, you know, that kind of thing. It's not like that for all of us. God pierces our heart with the truth of the gospel. We believe, we trust in him. It's a mercy of God. Why? Look at verse 16 again with me. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost sinner, right, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. You can put your name in there. So that in me and in you and in Paul and all believers, Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience. The impact of having been shown mercy or given mercy unto salvation is to manifest in our lives as examples that God can save sinners. And that's who I was before. I wasn't a good person. Christians, you can't walk around in this life, so, well, you know, I'm a little better than other people, so God... The testimony is Christ's perfect patience to save people that deserve hell. That's the truth. And everyone that is unsaved, that's what you're going to get. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to... It's eternal damnation, and the mercy of God looks over our... looks past our sin and our deserved punishment, and by his grace pierces our heart with the truth of the gospel and brings us into salvation. As believers, we're to be humble, grateful, and faithful, giving strong testimony that God saves sinners that deserve judgment like me. That's a testimony to God, not you. None of us are worthy. So we remember God's mercy given to us as we move along here. In the next turn, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And we're going to bounce along here, and we're going to expose everything that's in here, but we're moving along with this on our mind, trying to capture our understanding of God's mercy and remembering it before we take communion today. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I said 1 Peter, right? Thank you for the affirmation there. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Just one verse here. Listen to what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Capture the mercy here. Peter says God's great mercy was the motive behind God granting sinners to be born again. Mercy focuses on the sinner's miserable, pitiful condition. And mercy is not the same as grace. Divine mercy takes the sinner from the misery of judgment to glory. It's a change of condition. Divine grace takes the sinner from guilt to acquittal, a change of position. So catch the impact of God giving you mercy and grace. For God has caused you to be born again. That word there is regenerated. It's by the power of God that we're regenerated. That's how, why it's caused there. We're made new. He brought about all of this, you being born again, by giving you mercy, by passing over your deserved punishment, placing it on Christ, and changed your condition from sinner to born again. In this you have a living hope, he says, of all that God has promised and will bring about regarding your salvation and the glorious fulfillment of its completion. So we're remembering mercy. You see, when I encourage you to think about it, that my life's a mercy. You know, think about teaching your kids how to have mercy. It's more than compassion or pity or kindness, right? When you want to teach your kids that God had mercy, the mercy of God, you teach them, well, that person, your sibling, yes, they broke your toy, your valuable toy, your Xbox control panel, and they threw it in the pool. Yes, they deserve punishment, don't they? Right, guys? But you give mercy. You don't give them what they deserve. Not because they earned it or they're a good person or any of that. It's because, you see, we're looking at mercy here and what in our understanding on how this impacts our life. Now turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 3 with me. Titus chapter 3, we'll look at verses 1 through 8. And again, stirring you by the way of reminder of the God's truth that's already been established in you. It may be newer to you, or maybe you haven't thought about it lately, or those kind of things, but that's what we're doing today. So when we go before the Lord in communion, this is what's going to be on our heart and mind. Look at Titus. Paul writes to Titus chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Listen to what he says. Remind them, remind the church, to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of our God and our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which were done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. By the washing of the regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, you would be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable to men. Did you hear it again, who unsaved people are? You should, into passages like this in the Bible to remind you of the mercy and grace and love of God, you should write your name in there. For look at verse 3. This is who we were before our salvation. Every single human being. Some more, some less. But hear it again. For we were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Now look at verse 5a. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. Your salvation began way back when God gave mercy. According to God passing over the judgment, you deserved the punishment, and he placed it on Christ. And then he says this, by the washing of the regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When you capture or are reminded that your life is a mercy, there's a very, very important impact. Look at it in verse 8. Look at it in verse 8. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about right now, what's the impact on your heart and mind when you're thinking about, wow, I did not get what I deserved. And God would have been just to give me what I deserved. If he didn't have mercy and place our sin upon Christ on the cross, none of us would receive mercy. Right? So I want you to think just a minute. Just like, okay, so if my life, whatever it is here, my life is in Christ, I have all the eternal hope, I have all the promises of God, I know God's with me, all the things that we could go into about what's true about here as a Christian, it's a mercy that God didn't give us the punishment that we deserve. When you capture that in your mind, look at verse 8. It's a trustworthy statement. Concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. When you think about this, you become careful. Your life matters. What you choose to do, don't choose to do, what you are, what you believe in, what, all those things, it all engage in good deeds. You become careful in good, genuine deeds and works that God has for you in this life. That's the impact. For the sake of time, let's skip over here and have you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3:18. So I'm just building God's word here about the mercy of God and how it impacts our life. And for us to be reminded of it, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 2. Can I say something? I want to commend you guys. You guys are buzzing through the Bible. I see you turning them over. We're getting there. I like that. I really do like that. I like to dig into God's word, don't you? You know, especially when you have a topic like this, turn and look, it's here, it's here, it's in this, here, you, God said it over here, that kind of thing. It really enhances our understanding of who God is, who we are, what God's done in our life. It's a good way to look at scripture. We can even do it expositorially when we do just one book. That's why we have a lot of verses in there, because it's said a lot in there. But look at 2 Corinthians 3:18 with me through chapter 4, verse 2. And let me ask you, are you recalling to your mind that your life is a mercy? I'm going to keep repeating it, that your life's a divine concession of a generous and gracious God not to give you what you deserve. Every single day that you live in Christ, God gives you mercy. In the judgment that's coming and what's going to happen in this life, God's going to not, he's going to give those unsaved people what sin deserves. I mean, he's not giving it to us. Let me ask you, do you deserve it? Let me tell you, I do. I still do. But he put it on Christ. Do you sin today? What's the punishment for sin? The wages of sin? Come on, kids, help me. How come you don't receive eternal death? Because God placed your punishment on Christ. Mercy. He didn't look at you and say, oh, I like the way you look, and your hair's nice, and you're kind of kind. Let me. Your sin, it looked just like the Taliban sin. Exactly like it. So we're recalling to our mind mercy. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18 with me. This is a wonderful passage. We looked at this a lot in my time in the pulpit, but it's an incredible passage. Look at 3:18, 2 Corinthians. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We'd studied that. It says, as you gaze intently into the Word of God and see the glory, the character, the nature of Christ, as you seek to embrace Christ's way for your life, to apply God's truth to your living, thank you, Craig, for encouraging us that again. It says, by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, what he's doing, he's transforming your character, your actions, your attitudes, and thoughts into the same image of Christ. You're becoming more and more Christ-like, or sanctification is taking place. It's a work of God that he's doing in the life of every believer. It's a privilege. That's what Paul's talking about there. That's what he says is happening in every believer's life. It's a privilege. Some more, some less. Some don't embrace it like this. But look at chapter 4, verse 1. Look what he says this. Therefore, since we have this ministry. Did you know it's a ministry to become like Christ? Do you know it's a ministry to become like Christ? It's a ministry that God gave every believer that they are going to become like Christ. It's a ministry that he gave us, that he's at work at in our life. Therefore, we have this. Every believer has the ministry of becoming more and more Christ-like, of embracing sanctification or being conformed to the image of Christ. It's God's good goal in every believer's life. He'll finish it at the end, right? In eternity, 1 John 3:1 says, when we see him like he is, we'll be just like him. In character and actions and attitudes and thoughts, that's what I'm going to be in eternal life. That's what I'm going to be like. I'm going to be like Christ when I'm there. I'm going to live like him, love like him, be like him. That's God's goal in the life of the believer, life of the church. It's God's desire, and he will complete what he started, Philippians 1:6. But Paul says, look at the verse again. Look what it says. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. You don't deserve that. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve a life that you can become conformed to the image of Christ and fall short and fall down and get back up and keep giving the testimony that God's at work in my life. He's going to change me, grow me, mature me, and oh man, I stumbled again. You don't deserve it. God gave it as a mercy to his humanity. Think about that in life. All that's going on in our country, all that's going on in the world, all this pressure, all this garbage, all these things squeezing us, and God says, I'm just at work making you like me. And it's a mercy. We think it's some owed to us. Some God deserves to give us. I'm his. He owes this to me. It's not even close. Your life today is a mercy. By the grace of God, by faith alone in Christ alone. But it's a mercy. We're to live this life like it's a mercy. The people in the street, the people in this life, when we talk about things, my life's a mercy. I didn't get what God is going to give everybody that didn't believe in Christ. And then he's the one that pierced my heart with the truth of the gospel. He's the one that brought faith into me, and he's the one that empowers me to live this way. It's all about him. Amen? And my life's a mercy. That's good to remember, isn't it? Help us, Lord, in the midst of all this going on to remember, yes, you cover us in your love. Your grace abounds in our life. You're going to use all things for the good of those that love you. But in our humility, we need to remember it's a mercy. That's thinking humbly. And he says we don't lose heart. and becoming more and more Christ-like. It says this, we don't lose our motivation to accomplish the goal of becoming Christ-like when you acknowledge it's a mercy shown you that you can. But what do? Look at verse 2. What do? But we've renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Tom, that's a message, isn't it? Maybe two. But the impact's clear. When you remember your life's a mercy, you don't hide your life. You don't hide it. You don't manipulate God's word to make it fit what you want it to fit. You seek to live the truth of God's word in front of all people and say, Lord, use the truth to minister to their conscience. One more for our communion focus. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to go ahead and have the praise team come up here and join me. Ushers, will you come and join me up here? Come join me so we can do communion, take communion together. Have the priest team come up. I'm going to give them a little time because I want them, you know, they're working on their way up here and that kind of thing. And if I go and share God's word out of Romans 12, they might miss it. So I'm going to wait a little bit till they get up here. Come join us, guys. So as they work on their way up here, again, I'm going to kind of prompt your mind. Am I stirring your minds up to remember the truths that we know? What do you say? Is he getting stirred up? That's what Peter always did all the time. I'm no Peter. I'm no Paul. I'm not a foremost sinner like Paul, but I'm the Lord's. So listen to Romans 12:1. Listen to what Paul writes, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, what he's doing here, you need to understand. He's concluding all that he has taught from chapter 2, verse 4, all the way through chapter 11 of Romans. Therefore reaches that far back. And he says, therefore, by the mercies of God, I urge you. You're to remember the mercies of God and be urged, goosed, to respond to God. The mercies I just taught on, Paul says. Everything he taught on in Romans is related to the mercy of God given, that God leads anyone to repentance is a mercy, justification, imputed righteousness of Christ, forgiveness of sin is a mercy, redemption, reconciliation to God is a mercy, God demonstrating his love for you is a mercy, giving a newness of life in Christ is a mercy, no longer being slave to sin, given a new nature by regeneration, new desires in your life, freed from the law, no condemnation in Christ, becoming a child of God, heirs of Christ, to nothing separating you from the love of God which is Christ Jesus is by the mercies of God. That's what he's telling us to remind us about. God chose to have mercy on you, to change your condition so he could give you grace to change your position. God's passed over every believer's deserved punishment and placed it on Christ before you believed. Capture that. The impact to those who capture the truth of God's mercy. Look at verse 1 and 2. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a holy and living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's the impact to those who know and believe that God says your life, all of it's a mercy. That's the impact. You say every day, here I am, Lord, my life is yours. It's an act of worship. My action is don't let the world shape me. Let God's word shape the way I live for his glory. That's the impact. Now as we prepare to take communion, let's let our minds be flooded with the Lord Jesus Christ and the life, death, and resurrection brought and made available and procured God's justice so he could give mercy. His atonement is the only way God gives us mercy, by placing our deserved punishment on him. So by grace, you're freed from the guilt in a change of position. Let's pray for the bread and then take it together. We'll hold it, take it together.